on. I'm Andrizi.
You're listening to Ithaca Now, WICB's weekly news program focused on stories in the Ithaca community. I'm your host, Clark Ray Andoyan, and thanks for joining us. On tonight's show, News Director Inbayini Unbarasan has the opportunity to talk to WICB Sports Director Josh Hobbs about their experience at the 58th Super Bowl's Radio Row. But first, here's Malcolm Alexander with Community Beat.
City Court Judge Seth Peacock withdrew from the race for the Tompkins County Judge position. Peacock announced his withdrawal in an email sent out last weekend by Linda Hoffman, chair of the Tompkins County Democratic Committee. Peacock was first appointed to his current position as city judge by former Mayor Savante Myrick in 2019, having prior worked on the assigned council. The primary election for the Tompkins County judge position will be held on June 25, 2024. The Ithaca City School District Board of Education voted Tuesday for the approval of up to $100,000 of emergency spending to be used to repair the gaping hole left by a car crashing through the wall at Fall Creek Elementary last week. The money is planned to be used only for expenses not covered by insurance, as the district hopes that some of the funds will be reimbursed by the state. There is no timeline for the repairs, a process involving replacing electronics and fixing the structure of the school walls. However, the hole left by a parked car that was sent through the wall last Thursday has been covered with fencing and a temporary cover. Tompkins County District Attorney Matthew Van Houten is running for re-election, hoping to win a third term in the district attorney position. Van Houten, who describes himself as a progressive prosecutor, has served as the county district attorney for 6 years now, but still feels like there is more to be done. Van Houten hopes to continue building on his prior work to introduce restorative justice programs that would increase transparency between the police and the community. Restorative justice programs like Van Houten's are aimed at keeping jail populations low and offering proactive alternatives to incarceration and punishment. For Ithaca Now, I'm Malcolm Alexander.
You're listening to Ithaca Now. I'm your host, Clark Royan-Doyen. We now have Sarah Payne with our campus update, Leah McDermott with our politics beat.
This past Monday, as part of a MLK celebration week, there was a panel full of women of color who were in leadership positions on campus. The event was hosted by Shadavia Wallace, who was the program director of the MLK Scholars and First Gen programs. Speaking on the panel was Associate Professor of Biology, Taewin Low, Assistant Professor in the Center of the Study of Culture, Race, and Ethnicity, Micah Kennedy, and the 1990 Executive Director of Admission, Nicole Eversley Bradwell, and College President, Lejeune Terry Cornish. The main subject of this year was, quote, amplifying the voices of women of color, end quote. Those speaking noted their own experience leading at the school. For instance, Eversley Bradwell and Cornish discussed being the first ever Black women to be the Executive Director of Admissions and the President, respectively. Cornish said, quote, we have to be in these spaces. We have to push the boundaries because if we don't, we're not there, and that's unacceptable, end quote. Last week, it was announced by Michael Torper, Ithaca College's head football coach, that a new linebackers coach, Austin Cordova, will come on to work with the Ithaca team during the upcoming 2024 season. Cordova graduated from Baldwin-Wallace University in 2015 with a bachelor's degree in exercise science. After graduating, he worked as a defensive quality control and assisted defensive backs coach for Austin PA, then as a defensive back assistant coach and video coordinator for the Division I Football Championship subdivision at Rhode Island University, alongside other experiences. The 12 Women Leaders series is coming in March. During the series, a month of activities come to further opportunities for women at school. This year's activities include a kickoff on the 1st, a networking dinner on the 6th, a variety of workshops throughout the month, and the annual Women's of Distinctions Award that is on the 29th. The main purpose of this year's event is to highlight women living well. All events are free to students and faculty of the school. One can read more about the specific programs on the Ithaca College website on the Women's Leaders Series tab. For Ithaca Now, I'm Sarah Payne.
Ithaca City Judge Seth Peacock announced last week that he is withdrawing from the county judge race. This comes as County Judge John Rowley announced he's retiring on March 1st. There's no word on why Peacock dropped out of the race, but it leaves only Lansing Judge Maura Kennedy Smith in the race right now, with the primary set for June 25th. For Politics Beat, I'm Leah McDermott.
You're listening to Ithaca Now. I'm your host, Clark Royan-Doyen. Radio Row is an annual Super Bowl tradition that was started in 1993, where radio stations from all over the country gathered to discuss the Super Bowl. This year, WICB's own Josh Hobbs, Eli Fishman, Cam Manna, and Rihanna DeCrow had the opportunity to represent WICB at the Super Bowl. Here's Inbayini Unbarasin with more.
Okay, do you want to start off by introducing yourself?
Sure. Like my major or like what do you want?
Yeah, like your name, what you do at WICB, and like what you're studying.
Okay, yeah, sure. So my name is Josh Hobbs. I am a senior sports media major here at Ithaca College. I work as the WICB and VIC sports director for the radio here at Ithaca College. And I guess over this past week or so, I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, working as the director of the Radio Row project, you know, getting interviews and creating content for WICB Radio as well as ICTV for the college's content, I guess.
Do you want to tell me about just your interest in sports and how this came about to be?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, my interest in sports has started since I was like literally three or four years old. And it really kind of started as me being a player, but then kind of gravitated towards the media side as I got older. But I think this trip, I mean, we had heard about the group that went last year because they were kind of the first people to kind of do this whole, you know, sort of Radio Row experience, because it was a group of Dane, Nick Lebrano, who was sports director last year, Matt Sossler, and Jaden Becker. They got the chance to go to Phoenix and cover Super Bowl 57. Which was just, I mean, we were seeing the videos and all the content coming from there last year, and it was just an unbelievable opportunity. Going into this year, it was kind of known that they were going to, the school was going to be trying to do it again, but the process was a little bit, you know, I feel like it was a little bit more hush-hush this year, and also a little bit more last minute, but we found out basically right after Christmas that we basically got an approval for our credentials, and everything was kind of aligning to, you know, be what ended up turning out to be a really, really incredible opportunity.
Awesome. Just to give some context to people who are listening, can you tell me what Radio Row is and what it covered, basically?
Yeah, of course. So Radio Row is the event every year before the Super Bowl. Basically, it's the week leading up to the actual game, where basically it's like all the major media conglomerates converge on this one, like it's usually at one location, so like this year is at Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, basically where all these media people are trying to gather content and gather interviews from, you know, from players that are playing in the game, but also players that are not in the game. I mean, some of the biggest names that just talk, you know, sports regularly throughout the media are present there as well. So basically what Radio Row is basically just, you know, lots of media as well as lots of media personalities all kind of converging into one spot covering the game up until the game itself.
And is it common for college students to go? Did you see a lot of other college radio stations?
That's a good question. So it's not uncommon, but it's also not very common at the same time, if that makes sense. I believe Ithaca was only one of 9 colleges to be present at Radio Row. But even some of the colleges were like not like too heavy on like the media side, like they were more like management or, you know, kind of more specific, like specific causes. Long story short, no, it's not super common for a college to be going. Ithaca is fortunate enough to have a wide variety of alumni who can pull some strings and get some context going to help us kind of get the whole movement started. Plus, we have an amazing alumni network just that, you know, is helping kind of finance the whole trip within itself. So it really is truly a privilege to be able to go to an event like this at this point in our careers, because it's really not that common.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about who went, what the selection process was, and like a little bit about everybody who went with you?
Yeah. So I got to go with 3 other juniors. Their names are Cam Manna, Rihanna DeCrow, and Eli Fishman. As well as myself, obviously, but I'm a senior, and I had no authority in terms of who went. It was not my decision in terms of who got to go on the trip. That was decided by other members of the alumni network. So I had no say in terms of who went. But for the people that did go, we all kind of had like our own, and we kind of had our own internal visions of what kind of the content that we wanted to gather once we kind of were in Vegas. But we also, you know, we knew obviously like we had like certain things that we needed to provide the radio stations and TV stations each day to kind of like hit our deliverables. But I think it was really just an incredible opportunity just to kind of get to work with people who also kind of have the same dreams and kind of goals in terms of, you know, working in live sports later on in their career. So it was really, it was a great group to work with.
So tell me about like your average day when you were there. What did you do and what was the schedule like? Because I understand it was like really tight, like
it was absolutely. I mean, it was good busy, but also it was. I'd be lying if I said it probably was the busiest I've ever been. So basically, we were getting up at right before six every day, because we needed to be at the convention center around like 7:30 to 8. Because that's basically when like everyone got there. And then basically we would every day was a little bit different just in terms, because we usually had something at the end of the day that was a little bit separate from what we were getting throughout the middle of the day. But usually the core structure is that we were at the convention center from like 8 a.m. to like right around 5 p.m. And we basically every day we had to create an hour long show featuring the interviews that we either got that day or sometimes from the day previous. Then we also had to provide two daily updates for the radio specifically. We were calling it like our big game update, so it's basically like a 2-minute long, like sort of like update, just in terms of like either something that's been happening during the week or something more specific toward the game itself. Then we also had TV stand-ups that were due each day, and then, I mean, basically throughout the day, like if you were just kind of like sitting next to us, like kind of like a fly on the wall, like we basically were, each one of us was kind of having a different task at kind of like the exact same time. So like sometimes like people would be leaving our table and like going and trying to get interviews with like other people, that because the way it's basically working is that everyone is kind of walking around the same area all day long. So it's basically like you got to kind of like keep track of like, okay, I see, you know, I'll give you an example. Like I see CJ Stroud, who just walked in, who just won NFL Rookie of the Year. It's like, okay, we should probably keep note of where he is at, like when we have some free time to try to go get him for an interview. Or if we see like my Tirico walk in, it's like basically just like trying to keep track of names and like trying to see like, okay, who's walking in, like who could we possibly try to get a sit down interview or maybe just a walk and talk interview. My role more specifically was editing the content and making sure that everything was kind of getting out on schedule. So I was doing a lot of work with, you know, just like audio editing and also like trying to plan out interviews that were heading into the day as well. So that was kind of what we were doing from that like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. window. And then usually at night, we either had something else that we needed to go to. Like we had the opening night that was on Monday. So that was, we had to go to the stadium and interview the players and coaches there, which took like, we were there from probably like 5:30 to almost 10 o'clock at night. And then the next day we were at a media party, which was a lot of fun. So it was definitely a busy week, but we were busy doing the stuff that we actually enjoyed. So it was kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Who's the coolest person you met?
Oh man, I feel like I have kind of multiple answers to that question, because there are some people that maybe are not as like media famous that I was really, really wanting to meet, and I did get to meet them. But there's also people that were just like, oh my god, I can't believe that person just walked past me. So I'll give you two answers. For the person that I really wanted to meet, there was this guy named Nate Taylor, who is a writer for The Athletic, who covers the Chiefs basically since I was like a little kid. And he was an incredible person to meet. I got to interview him for about 10 to 12 minutes. I mean, just an absolute Chiefs nerd, which is just my favorite person to talk to. In terms of, I mean, I guess the person I was more starstruck to see, I mean, interviewing Jim Nantz was really cool, but that was over Zoom, so I'm not gonna technically count that one. I feel like, honestly, although I as a Chiefs fan, I'm not supposed to technically like this person, when Josh Allen walked by me, that was a pretty cool moment, because, I mean, that guy is just absolutely massive. He's a massive human being.
I'm probably correct in saying that this was like a big dream come true for you, and I'm assuming that you're probably going to want to go into this field of work in the future, especially now that you're a senior. How did it feel like to be there doing the work of like an actual reporter, like covering all of this, and what does it mean for you for the future?
I think that's exactly right. I think I was like, even before the trip kind of came about, I was like trying to visualize like how the trip was even going to go, and like kind of like what my mental makeup was even beforehand. And as someone who's, you know, grew up watching football since I was literally 3 or 4 years old, and then getting the opportunity to cover a team that I've been rooting for since I was that same age, and then kind of combining like what I've been doing here at school, it was literally like the perfect like crossover of everything I've been kind of working on just since I've been, you know, coming to Ithaca. In terms of like doing it later on in my career, I mean, I think my real career focus is, you know, more towards the like interviewing side of athletes and trying to get out like certain content regarding athletes that are working in the professional world. And so it really was just like kind of like almost a both a launching point, but also just like a real like it gave me the confidence that like, okay, like I can do this, and like this isn't like because I mean the first day, we were all like, oh my god, like we're actually here, like what's going on, there's so many people that we were normally just used to seeing on our phones that they're literally like 10 feet from us. So it was a little nerve-wracking at first, but as the week went on, I mean, we got so much more comfortable just with like what the setting was and like what we needed to do each day. So yeah, it was really just like it was truly like a dream come true, and just really kind of a real confidence booster, just in terms of like, yeah, like we did belong there. I think we put out the best content in terms of any college that was actually there. So it made me that much more proud just to say that I was there, both having fun just covering my own team about to play in the Super Bowl, but it was also like, man, like this is kind of the start of like this is what the real world's gonna be like, and I fit right in it. So,
and I'm sure watching the Super Bowl after that was like crazy, knowing that you like were there.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the perfect cherry on top. I mean, regardless, I mean the trip itself, like I obviously, if the Chiefs would have lost, it would have been, as a fan, that would have been brutally crushing for me. But just in terms of like as a worker, it's like, okay, I'm not really supposed to have an opinion or really care about who wins the outcome of the game. But of course, I mean, I absolutely lost my mind when the Chiefs won that Super Bowl. So it was just a cherry on top of a perfect week, I would say.
Yeah. Last question that I have prepared is, I'm assuming we're going to keep doing this at Ithaca. We're going to keep sending people over to the Super Bowl. What do you have to say to them as someone who's gone through this and someone who led the entire team and like was extremely successful? What do you have to tell them, and what's like your best piece of advice?
That's such a good question. I think I would say that, I guess I would say like you need to basically, like, first of all, the more work you do leading up to the week itself, the more prepared you're gonna feel. But at the same time, like, once you get there and once you kind of, like, get, like, especially our first day, like, you're going to feel overwhelmed no matter how much prep you do. And I think it's going to be the case just for all of us, honestly, since we, like, as we get older and, like, we're more just kind of put in situations, like, it's okay to feel that sense of being overwhelmed and stressed out. So I think I would just kind of tell them that, kind of embrace feeling that sense of stress, embrace feeling overwhelmed and feeling a little bit nervous. Because all that's really telling you is that you want to be successful and that you want to do the best that you can possibly do. And I think once I kind of more accepted the fact that I was stressed out and nervous, and, you know, I had a lot, you know, we had a lot of stuff to do, I think it actually made me more appreciative of the opportunity, and also just made me more relaxed, because it's like, okay, I know there's a lot of people here, I know there's a lot of athletes here, but you're also here, and you're also here to do a job, and that's okay. So I think what I would tell people, long story short, is that it's okay to feel nervous, and that it will, the more you kind of accept that you are nervous and that there is a lot of, you know, people around, the more you're going to feel more that you do belong there, and that you're going to do a fine job. So that's, I guess that's what I'd say.
Awesome. That's pretty much all I had. Do you have anything to add?
I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot. I feel like I would just kind of say, I mean, it was an incredible opportunity. You're right, it was definitely a busy week, but I mean, it was a real, real incredible opportunity just to both like really have a moment to kind of both do exactly what I want to do in terms of like interviewing athletes and interviewing personalities, in terms of like that's like really what I want to do as a career, but to also do that at an event that's covering my second favorite team. And just, you know, having that ability just to like sit down with people that I've been wanting to interact with since I was a little kid. So it was a dream come true.
Awesome. Okay, what is your first favorite team then? I thought the Chiefs were your favorite.
I guess, I mean, the way they've been playing, I guess they are kind of my favorite team right now. Honestly, though, I would say my first favorite team is, it's Kansas University. It's like a D1 school. It's their basketball team, which is like basically because like I'm from Kansas and lived in Lawrence, which is where the school is. It's like if you grew up there as like a little kid, like it is everything. Like, so I think that core tradition is still like what really because basically now that the season's over, like that's like my entire focus right now, just as like as a fan. So I guess they're still technically my number one team, but I mean the way the Chiefs have been playing has been absolutely ridiculous, so I guess they would kind of take the crown right now. But you know what, I don't want to pick a favorite, but you know, those are my two babies at the end of the day. Yeah,
that's all for tonight's edition of Ithaca Now. You can listen to all of our stories on WICB.org. And if you'd like to listen to past shows, follow WICB on SoundCloud and subscribe to Ithaca Now to hear the show anywhere, anytime. Just search WICB News Presents on your favorite podcast app. For more updates throughout the week, follow WICB News on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This show wouldn't happen without the support and assistance of Manager of Television and Radio Operations, Jeremy Menard, WICB Station Manager, Beck Legato, and Programming Director, Nicole Allen. Thank you. All of the music from our show's intro and outro comes from Dr. Dundiff of Louisville, Kentucky. Have any feedback? Story ideas? Just want to say hi? Feel free to reach out by emailing news@wicb.org. We will be back with a full episode of Ithaca Now at 7 p.m. next Sunday.